Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, April 19th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke. Going to be a special edition here as we chat with Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast about UFC Fight Night 149 over in Russia. I will tell you right now, we're probably going to butcher at least two-thirds of the names on this card here, so don't be surprised when that happens. Lots of great stuff going on over at bangthebook.com right now. NHL and NBA playoffs, my daily MLB picks. If you missed yesterday's edition of the Bettors Box, make sure you go back and check that out. I'll have another one coming up here on Monday, then also do an NFL draft podcast with some props and some analysis here coming up on Tuesday. But for today, we're chatting with Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast about UFC. Christian, how's it going today, man?
Good, man. It was a good week of fights. Last week, we are back in full steam ahead with the UFC. Like you said, what, six fights in a row. So every weekend, we'll have something for everybody as we move forward here, man. It's a great time.
Yeah, it definitely is. We'll have a lot of stuff coming up here for you over the next 6 weeks, as you mentioned. But we got an interesting card here this week over in Russia. And you know, you and I were talking a little bit before we hit the record button here on this thing that there are a lot of, not unknown fighters, I guess, but a lot of fighters that, you know, really haven't been exposed to this type of caliber fighter, or even, you know, some guys that are actually unknowns.
Yeah, and Russia is very weird, man. This Russia, it was the breeding ground, was kind of looked at as the mecca for kind of upping, you know, transitioning over from boxing into breeding and training UFC type of fighters. Mixed martial arts really has taken over there. And, you know, as we've seen with the Khabib Nurmagomedov, basically anything that ends in NOV, you're looking down the line and there are these minus 300 favorites as these kind of quote unquote green prospects. In truth, Nigeria, I think, is really going to be kind of the next wave of that. We've seen that from Ngannou, from Usman. So there's going to, you know, it's really interesting to see how these countries kind of come up. But as you said, I mean, these kind of, when you look at these unknown Russian fighters, it's a very different type of situation when the quality of opponent that they are fighting on the regional scene, which is basically minor leagues where the UFC and, you know, other companies, Bellator, kind of pull from, is the best in the world, bar none. So it's a little, that's kind of why you're seeing this when you look at these up and coming, you know, prospect fighters making their debuts being such big favorites. It's just because they're so much more ready than when the typical UFC fighter came into the game so long ago.
Well, I think we have to talk about this, obviously. We've kind of touched on this before with different international events. And then also we've had some events this year in states where, you know, we haven't seen too many UFC cards. Obviously, judging becomes a pretty big factor here in Russia, correct?
Yeah, it's not Brazil, but it's close, honestly. And so that needs to go into your handicapping for sure. I mean, we've seen egregious stuff on, you know, kind of both ends for hometown guys. Look, is Russia corrupt? I mean, yeah, you can make your own decisions on that. To me, it's, you know, if you think that about Brazil, I would kind of caution you or at least tell you to keep that in consideration when it comes to a place like Russia as well.
And this is the second time here, the first visit, I should say, to St. Petersburg, second in Russia. And, you know, so we don't have a large sample size of data here for UFC cards in Russia, but, you know, we can make some inferences certainly here. And, you know, as we kind of look at that here, let's look at this main event in the heavyweight division, Alistair Overeem, Alexei Oleinik. And again, like I said, we're probably going to butcher half these names. At least I know I will. But as we look at this fight here, Overeem, about a $2.50 favorite here for this one. Does the line surprise you in this matchup?
Nope. And when you look at a guy like Oleinik here, look, Overeem is a guy I have nothing. He's really, I don't want to say underrated because I do think he gets, you know, respect, but maybe not to the level that he deserves for, you know, who he has been inside the UFC and for mixed martial arts. Look, as a whole, I can't believe the guy is ever fighting again after the unbelievable knockout of, you know, to Francis Ngannou. It's a picture I have blown up, signed and framed in my home office because I think it's one of the coolest, you know, it's an iconic shot. And to be on the other end of that, that is a life-changing knockout. And for, you know, a guy like Overeem to not only be like living and walking to be fighting is absolutely incredible and such a testament to the type of warrior that he is. And so, look, this is, I believe it's what, 63rd fight for a guy like Overeem when you look through his career, obviously not just in the UFC, kickboxing, all that type of stuff, but the guy has been through it in fight years. He is a lot older than his 38 age, which is, you know, incredible to even think about or say. But look, this is your basic striker versus grappler. And I know it's cliche, but it really comes to fruition here. Alistair Overeem has the striking advantage over, you know, he usually does over everyone, just about not named Francis Ngannou, while Oleinik is called the boa constrictor for a reason. It does not take much for him to get in close, take someone's back, and they usually submit you know, very, very closely after that. So it's, you know, again, you look at his pro record, 70 fights, I believe 45 of them are in front of me are by submission. So it's really, really the, you know, kind of two contrasting styles here. Olenek is going to want to get in close, take Overeem down, who does have great takedown defense, and Overeem needs to keep this at distance and not get too close. And again, whichever kind of style you prefer there is likely where the winner is going to come from. I think that this one wouldn't see the scorecards. Look, this is one of the things we talked about. I can't lay a minus 245 on Alistair Overeem at this stage. It's just, it's not a price I'm willing to do at all. I think Overeem by knockout, if you're going to go that route, makes some sense when the prop market gets out there, or Olenek by submission. Those are genuinely the two paths to victories that I see there. But if you ask me to make a pick, I have to lean with the underdog just based on price alone.
Now, this was a fight change. This was supposed to be Alexander Volkov in this one against Overeem. The fight change happened the first week of April. And Olenek, the thing about him is that he actually had another fight scheduled for early May, winds up getting switched to this card. So both guys were prepping for a different opponent as recently as, you know, about 15 days ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? I mean, Olenek gets to move up to Russia. I mean, why wouldn't he do this and take this opportunity? And really, like I said, I don't think this is as big of a, you know, lopsided fight as these odds would indicate to you. Now, is it a little bit, you know, again, when you talk path to victory, is it more likely that Overeem wins? Sure, but Olenek certainly has a path to victory, and he's shown time and time again he does not need much, but it makes all the sense in the world for Olenek, who, again, if it does go to the scorecards, is going to have hometown judges in his corner, so that cannot be understated as well.
It's the last of three heavyweight fights here on the card. We'll touch on the other ones as we go throughout the show here. But let's move to the lightweight division, where Islam Makhachev is a huge favorite, almost a $4 favorite, against a newcomer here to the UFC. Break this one down for us, Christian.
Yeah, look, Makhachev's making his seventh appearance and looking for his fifth straight win. He is very good. He looks like a mini Khabib Nurmagomedov. The names sound right. I believe they're in the same camp. Probably distant cousins at some point. Like, this family is extended, and, you know, Makhachev trains with them. He is an incredible talent. When you look at the other side with Sarkhan, look, he is, I don't say, again, this is kind of the overwhelming theme here. Again, this price is too long. He's going to get all he can handle and then some, that being Makhachev here. So again, I think that this is a case of something being too much too soon, and Sarkhan likely takes a loss here, but he will rebound. And I think that the future will be bright for him. He's on 12 fight win streak in the Russian regional scene, which cannot be understated. 9 of those being finishes. He's fought just about everywhere. So he obviously took this call from the UFC when this happened. So it makes a ton of sense for him to hear, you know, look, he's going to pay his dues. I think this is likely one that does see the scorecards over 2.5, depending on where that comes out, likely to, be a play out there as long as the juice is perfectly, you know, within range there. Both of these guys belong in the UFC, and, you know, especially the up-and-comer making his debut here. It's just a little bit too much too soon. I think that everything that Sarkhan does, Makhachev just does a little bit, not even a little bit, but better, and it's a little bit marginable at this point. He's just a better version of the 22-year-old making his debut at this point. But I really see this fight going to the scorecards. It's going to be a grimy, dirty boxing up against the cage, on the mat wrestling match where anybody can get caught in transition, in scramble. And I think this is probably a gross, nobody knows who wins, who lost type of split decision where Sarkhan really proves himself here.
Well, and as we talk about the regional scene, you know, we talk about newcomers to UFC and trying to evaluate, you know, who they've fought on their path to the highest level. I mean, there are some very legit promotions here. This isn't like, you know, backwoods U.S. promotions that, you know, rookie North American fighters come from. I mean, these guys are pretty battle-tested by the time they get to this level.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. And again, I think that usually the UFC, because they know the marketability and the following and, you know, what these Russian fighters can bring to the sport, genuinely like to give them, you know, a showcase fight in their first type of fights. We've seen this, you know, we saw it with Inc. Alive, Paul Craig, and, you know, against Paul Craig and all that type of stuff. I know that one didn't go his way, but you've seen it time and time again. And, you know, for some guys, the bright lights are going to get to them. And we've seen that maybe Antigulov, it's come to fruition that some of these hyped up prospects were able to run through the Russian regional scene. Some weren't, but for the majority of them, it's a much higher success rate than, again, the, you know, when you're coming from that type of background and that type of competition than North America, for sure.
Sergey Pavlovich, a favorite in the other heavyweight fight on the main card here in the minus 270 range, Is this one where you just sort of, you know, start with the underdog because it's a heavyweight fight that's probably going to have a stoppage? Or does Pavlovich deserve this big line?
Yeah, this fight is not going to last long. So if you're a casual fan looking for violence, I think this is your fight for sure. It's not often you have a plus 230 underdog that is has never been finished in a heavyweight fight that is going to, in my estimation, end in a knockout. So from that point of view, completely, I have to, you know, lean or at least go that way from initial price perspective of leaning with Marcelo Goem. Look, Sergey Pavlovich is a Mack truck and he hits like one. And he's a little bit of a different fighter because Russians and him coming from Russia are usually wrestlers by nature, right? Again, the shining example always will be Nurmagomedov, who has no striking. Pavlovich is the exact opposite. I mean, 6'3", and he is built like it and throws hands with the best of them. So it's, you know, it's a little bit weird there. But when you talk about, you know, what's more likely to happen, you know, someone's going to get knocked out. You start with the underdog philosophically, who has never been finished, is even better, has 5 knockouts of his own. And again, Pavlovich 12 wins, 9 of them being knockouts, 3 decisions. So, you know, philosophically, this is one of those things that, yeah, maybe it doesn't come to fruition this card, but if you play these types of underdogs long enough, you're going to make money in the long run. So that's definitely what it's all about.
One light heavyweight fight on the main card, 2 on the card overall here. Ivan Shterkov and Devin Clark. And once again, I apologize if I'm butchering these names here, but, you know, Devin Clark, a guy that we kind of know, Shterkov, a guy that we don't know. So what do you think about the line and the matchup here?
Again, usually these type of prospects get kind of favorable matchups here. And that's, you know, it's a little bit of the case. I mean, minus 175 for a UFC, you know, somebody making their UFC debut usually is, you know, a little bit low, I would say, or a little bit high, unless they're, again, have these type of things going. Look, this is, he is, you know, Shardov is built like a physical freak of nature, has a little bit of a Giannis, you know, body type to him, you know, after coming into his own here. Absolutely has been killing everyone. And it is, you know, he has fought former UFC fighters as late, have 2 back-to-back wins off of those type of guys. And he is, like I said, physically, when you see this guy, I mean, granted, that's not everything. We've seen that time and time again with a guy like Eric Anders, even, you know, the Silvers of the world. I mean, physical, you know, gifts definitely aren't everything. But when you're talking about this type of fight and this type of breakdown, I think it's just going to be far too much when you look at the athleticism for a guy like a Devin Clark. Now, on the other side, when you look at passive victory, Devin Clark here, what is his path? It's to win a decision. How's he going to do that? He's going to try to use his wrestling, which again, he does have a little, I don't even say advantage, but he's at least, you know, more on par than his striking. That is for sure. So if he's able to frustrate him a little bit, look at, you know, trying to keep him on the ground, I think that he could potentially, you know, again, talking past to victory, that is his. I don't see a situation where Devin Clark is able to finish Shterkov. I just don't. I mean, his nickname, Earl Hulk, it really says it all. The guy looks like the Hulk. He hits like the Hulk. And I don't see, you know, I just don't see Clark being able to weather this storm long enough. He has shown the propensity to be able to do that, but it's just the athleticism, explosiveness, and striking power is going to be too much for him there.
All right, so we've got one women's fight on the card here. It has a Shevchenko, just not the one that you're most familiar with. In fact, it's her older sister who took a 12-year break from MMA. Now she's back. Now she's been fighting a little bit more regularly. Are we going to be impressed with what we see here from the elder Shevchenko?
Yeah, you really are. If you haven't seen her, I think a lot of people, when you even look at Antonina Shevchenko versus Valentina, think that she is the, you know, much younger sister. And of course, in fight years, she certainly is. But look, this goes back to, let's start at the beginning here. Roxanne Modafferi, God bless her. One of my favorite fades. And again, no 3-2 over the past. When you look at the kind of the levels of competition, this to me is a when, not if type of fight. I think Shevchenko makes a great parlay piece. I don't know. I mean, look, Modafferi's looked a little bit better than even I've given her credit for as of late. Again, I will certainly see that. So it's probably most likely to be a decision when you look at this. But look, Shevchenko, 2 knockouts, 5 decisions. And again, different quality of competition than even Roxanne Modafferi, who's fought kind of the gas cans throughout the world. And look, God bless her, has made a career of it. But she is flat out classed in every single metric that the UFC keeps here. Look, significant strikes, accuracy, you know, absorbed defense, takedown averages, takedown at you name it. And she does, you know, Shevchenko has the advantage here. So I even think there's a little bit of value on this minus 350. I can't imagine a scenario outside of a Shevchenko breaking a limb inside an octagon and needing to quit that Modafferi is able to get this job done. Just doesn't have what it takes against this type of caliber flyweight.
So we are looking at, as you mentioned, a minus 350-ish favorite. So maybe the open parlay route. We talked about open parlays one of the first shows that we did with you, Christian. Who else on this main card would fit the bill as pairing with Shevchenko in an open parlay?
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult when you look down this line because I think the open parlay makes a ton of sense. Is there anyone on here that I would really trust to close that with the certainty? You know, for me, when I look to make an open parlay, it has nothing to do with odds in that estimation. I'm not just going to go back and circle a minus 300 or higher. I have to feel, you know, my kind of standard for that. And I have to feel that the next fighter that I'm going to input that, and I've waited 3, 4, 5 weeks for that to kind of happen here, you know, in the past. So to me, I don't think that there's another one on this card just because there's, you know, I just don't see a path to victory for Modafferi. And I can't say that about basically any other fight on this card. So I would wait and utilize an open parlay, and flat betting is always available to you as well.
All right. So as we look at the rest of the card here, we'll kind of bounce around a little bit and touch on some of the things that you like. It also keeps me from saying a lot of these names, but what else on this card are you looking to take advantage of?
Yeah, round prop not out, but one of the ones I'm looking to definitely attack towards and over is Marcin Tybura versus Shamil Abdurakhimov. Now, this fight to me has kind of ugly heavyweight slop fest, awful fans booing. They think it's heavyweight. They think they're going to see a knockout, and it is the exact opposite. I mean, just because it is heavyweight, both guys have obviously finished guys in the past. Maybe I can get you know, a little bit of a price drop on that, which would be great. Hopefully even maybe a 1.5 would be a perfect scenario for a round prop there, but this is just, when you look at these two guys stylistically and how they match up, both of them want to do the same thing. They want to kind of come together, go up against the cage and try to kind of assert themselves, but neither does it particularly well. And so, you know, gas tanks could be an issue here late, or, you know, when you're talking about options, but these two guys are going to cruise for the entire duration. And I don't think either fighter has ever shown, you know, a hurry. Now, both guys have certainly had what I would call, I don't want to say the word fluke, but they've had knockouts kind of out of nowhere. But with these styles of both these guys, you know, they always tend to kind of start there and they just kind of caught people for sure. So to me, this one is without question going to be a split decision with very little output. Neither, you know, both fighters fighting to not lose because they both fight such a similar slow paced style here. So a round prop of over, if it's in that range, makes a ton of sense there as the first one on the kind of the prelims.
Anything else that you're looking at in the prelim?
You know, as I've looked through this card and I've really tried to kind of find stuff there, there's not a ton on this during the prelims that kind of have really, really stuck out to me. Another round prop that did was Kita Nakamura versus Saltin Aliyev. Look, Aliyev is somebody that I've been very high on. You know, returned after 7 years back in 2015 and kind of has gone 500. You know, he's 4-6 at the moment, you know, based on that overall career embodiment. But that being said, this is something that you're going to have to look at past to victory, and it's all because of takedown defense in this one. Aliyev, that is his one kind of kryptonite, and Nakamura can do that, and Nakamura can steal rounds doing that. I think that this is going to be something much like, you know, a little bit a different version, a smaller version of the fight that I just talked about, where both guys are incredibly careful. Neither one of them want to kind of lose this fight. They're going to both fight in that exact manner, in my estimation. So I think that a, you know, kind of slow-paced grind wrestling type of matchup is really what's going to happen here. Dirty boxing up against the cage with Aliyev and Nakamura over 2.5 is what's likely to be hung there as well.
So some good thoughts here on UFC Fight Night 149 or UFC on ESPN Plus 7. You can read Christian's preview over at bangthebook.com. And Christian, before I let you go, I'm sure you haven't dug too deep into next week's event, UFC on ESPN 3, but this one looks like a pretty good card. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
Absolutely, man. You know, it kind of goes in waves, I feel like, with what the UFC is, you know, trying to do right now. I mean, Jacare and Hermanson is going to be a great fight. I mean, we have the returning Greg Hardy. As you know, that was somebody that I faded as a pretty big favorite and able to get what I would call a, you know, luck box win, but that is always something you need in this. I mean, Mike Perry fights are always entertaining one way or another. You can't miss John Hands of Stone, Lidiger, Corey Sanhagen. So top to bottom, that one we'll have a, you know, I think there's a lot more to talk about there than just kind of this Russian showcase type of fight card that we have now.
Well, definitely something for our listeners to look forward to then next Friday as we talk about that UFC on ESPN3 card. Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast, at Christian Pina, P-I-N-A on Twitter, and his preview over at bangthebook.com. Christian, thanks so much, bud. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, man. Enjoy the fights. We'll talk soon.
There you go. There's Christian Pina again of the Sports Gambling Podcast, at Christian Pina, P-I-N-A on Twitter. Don't forget about a new edition of the Bettors Box coming up on Monday, including the Monday mailbag. So at Skating Tripods on Twitter or Adam at bangthebook.com if you want to send over some questions. I'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I will talk to you again on Monday.